Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Amen. Help me sing this.
Well, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise my Lord. I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, some may come and criticize, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Oh, some may come and criticize, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Oh, some may criticize, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, some may come and criticize, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Oh, some may come and criticize, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Oh, some may come and criticize, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Oh, I...
Why don't you turn around and shake your neighbor's hand this morning, freedom?
Something good just praising the Lord. Oh, we're together again in one accord. Oh, something good, it's about to happen. Something good is in store. We're just praising the Lord. Just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is about to happen. Something good is in store. We're together.
Good morning, church. After singing like that, I trust that every one of you came expecting. You know, it's one thing just to go through the motions of coming to church. Well, it's Sunday morning. I guess I better get up. I mean, what's the pastor or the deacons or some of the others that sit close to me? What are they going to think if I'm not there? I guess I better get up and go. Well, I kind of like to look at my attitude a little different. Lord, I want to go to church. I want to see my brothers and sisters. I want to shake their hand. I want to draw strength and encouragement from them. And not only that, Lord, what have you got in store for me this morning? Not for them. What do you got for me? So I told Brother Hoover down there. So I was up early this morning. I had to take Brother Yarbrough to the airport. So he conned me. I mean, asked me to take him to the airport at 5:30 this morning. But it was all right. He'd do the same for me. He'll be gone a week or so remember him in prayer. He's going out to see a friend of ours and his sister and so forth in Phoenix area and Prescott. But, you know, praying on the way back and while after I got up and laying in bed before I could get back to sleep for quite a while, I prayed just, and then praying while we're here, walking around and just asking the Lord, what do you got for us this morning? So just come expecting something from the Lord. But now we have some requests that we need to take before Father. And we don't want to neglect those. We have our sister Weber's not feeling well this morning. So let's remember her. And we have a request here for little Peyton Bryant. And she's got another enzyme treatment tomorrow, which is Monday. And they're going to put in a feeding tube into her belly on, that's next Friday, I presume, since it says Friday. So let's remember that little girl. The Lord has just done marvelous works for her. So we certainly want to keep holding her up in prayer. As Brother Branham taught us and as Brother Nathan preached here a while back, we just want to keep knocking. Just keep knocking at the door for these prayer requests. We've got our sister Patty that we need to keep holding her up before the Lord. We have Brother Lauren. We need to hold him up before the Lord. We have our good friend, Brother Mike Eplin. We need to hold him up before the Lord. See, people think, well, I prayed one time, Brother Layton. I shouldn't have to pray again. Well, that's not exactly right either. To him that knocketh and knocketh. Be like the woman that aggravated the snot out of the judge. She just aggravated him to death until he finally said, I better go ahead and give her what she wants. Now, the Lord's not that way. Don't misunderstand, but he likes to hear our praises, but he also likes to hear our requests and our needs. He already knows about them, but he wants to hear us ask and ask in faith. So let's hold him up before him. Let's remember the pastor. He's still down at Brother Jack's this morning. He'll be preaching and maybe they're preaching already. I don't know exactly what time he'll be in the pulpit, but he said they had a great, wonderful service last night and quite a prayer line. He said he was tired and they're wanting him to have another one today. So we trust the Lord will just use him mightily and that the Lord will get the glory for it. Let's remember Sister Patty Hansel. She has kidney stones and I've never had them, but I understand they're pretty bad. They're pretty painful. And she's due to have a CT scan on Wednesday. Please pray for Brother Tony Templeton's upcoming test on Tuesday and for test results from the MRI last week. I believe there will be no return of the cancer, that he's been fighting this for several years, and that he will be in remission. Amen for that. We want to remember all of that. And let's continue to remember Sister Sargent's father, who's in the hospital with congestive heart failure. Is there any other request you want to make by lifting hands, lifting up the hands? The Lord knows each and every hand. Brother Jimmy, I know you fight a lot of battles, so come and pray for these requests, my brother.
I'd like to give a little testimony. I want to thank each and everyone here today for the many prayers that you've all prayed for Sister Patty and I. It's through those prayers that we've been able to do what we've been going through. You know, it's the hand of God that does that. He gives you a family, a people, a little assembly here that I believe that has the love of God in their hearts, that, Lord, when there's a need, that he meets it. And Father, as I lay my hands upon these requests, Lord, you're more than able. Father, think of a little Peyton, Lord, as they said, to get a feeding tube, Lord, a little child. Lord, let it not be so. Father, you're more than able to change the situation, the circumstance on each request. Lord, you're more than able to, Father, heal the cancers. And Satan, you're a liar and the father of them. And Lord, we just put our hands to these things. We put our hearts to it. We lift it up to you. We knock on that door, Lord. We ring the bells and Lord, just to awaken you, Lord, to know that we stand here, Lord, needing your help. Father, we're nothing. We can only do what you allow us to do. And Father, we pray now, Lord, that you would move upon each request. And Lord, let there be testimonies come forth, Lord, in a mighty way, that you get glory and honor. And Father, thinking of Brother Nathan, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to use your servant in a mighty way. Lord, help him to get himself out of the way, Lord, that you, Lord, could use his hands to lay upon the sick. Heal him, Lord. Father, speak the word. You said speak the word. So we speak the word, Lord, and we just ask you, Lord, now to be with your servant in a mighty way. Anoint him, Lord, and anoint your people to receive. And Lord, each and every person standing here today, Lord, we came expecting, Lord. And Lord, we know that, Lord, your hand's not too short. You know the need of each and every heart here today. And Father, we ask you just to deliver that message to our hearts and let us receive them in the way that you would have it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, if you would, turn to this, the 11th chapter of the book of Psalm. Just one announcement while we are turning. We'll have no service Wednesday night. That's this coming Wednesday night. We'll have no service. They're going to be working here in the sanctuary doing some painting and stuff. So rather than tearing all the equipment down and taking it out and then putting it back up on Thursday and so forth, it's been decided that we'll just cancel Wednesday night service and let them have the whole week to accomplish their work here in the church building. All right, the 11th chapter of Psalm. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. God bless you. Please be seated.
this time we have a special from Sister Brenda Thompson, who's visiting with us this morning.
Stillness filled the heavens on crucifixion day. Some say it rained, but I don't know if it's true. I just can't imagine 10,000 angels cried. That would seem like rain to me and you. Angels all stood ready to take him from the tree. They waited for the words from his voice. And when he asked the Father, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" They watched the Savior die of his own choice. I've never seen 10,000 angels cry, but I'm sure they did as they stood by and watched the Savior. When 10,000 angels cried, and as the sun slipped away, the skies turned to gray, and when Jesus gave his all, that's when the tears began to fall. I've never seen watch the Savior die. God turned his head away. He couldn't bear the sight. It must have looked like rain when 10,000 angels cried. It must have looked like rain when 10,000 angels cried.
God bless you, sister. Sure appreciate that. If the brothers would please come at this time. This is 139 in your hymn book.
Well, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides. Once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Just as free. Oh, for the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. He abides, oh, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. For the things of this world they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up instantly. All my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides. As a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides. Oh, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides with me. Rejoicing night and day as I
this morning, and he encouraged me to share this with you guys. So yesterday I was out and about, and I got a phone call from a very desperate mother who, you just pray for me. She was searching for her son, and Ethan decided to go for a bike ride. Seems like a good thing to do on a nice sunny day, but he did something out of character. We have a dead end street, and he normally goes about 100, 200 yards up, and he turns around, and every now and then he breaks the boundary by, you know, a couple hundred feet, but that's it. Well, he decided yesterday to go for a much longer ride. He probably rode about 3/4 of a mile from the house, and he crossed a train track, and he crossed 31 at Memphis. And if you know where Memphis, the intersection is there, you know that it's a very busy intersection. There's a lot of trucks coming that way due to construction. And the ladies that found him told us that he crossed the road several times, and he wouldn't tell them his name, where he lived, his mom's phone number. He just said, "I want to go home." So they called the police, and the police and these two ladies were walking beside his bike, following him, hoping that he would take them home. And you know, you might say, "Well, Brother Furman, Sister April, why did you neglect your child? He has never done anything like this. It was completely out of character." We were shocked. And anyway, the Lord protected him is the reason I'm telling you guys this. And I just want to give him all the glory. It is very possible that he wouldn't be with us today if it wasn't for his angels of mercy being there with him. And I just feel like it's just another paragraph in Ethan's testimony. So I just want to give him all the glory. He got a little boy who can't communicate, and God had his angels with him. So one of the ladies, we don't know where she lives. We don't know. They gave him chocolate and ice cream. We know that much. So thought that was nice of them. But she hugged April's neck and said, you know, the Lord protected him. So, you know, maybe it was for her, but it sure had us upset. And but we just really thankful that God spared his life and protected him. So anyway, the garage door doesn't open anymore with the opener, and we're going to be praying about some type of GPS tracking device or something to keep an eye on him until his miracle is manifested. Amen. All right, God bless you. Let's stand and sing this as Brother Hoover comes. You just pray for him and pull on the gift, and amen. It's 398 if you don't know it. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Well, I needed someone just to wash my sins away.
Sin debt, Brother Jimmy. I had no way of getting rid of it. I turned new leaves, made resolutions, tried and tried and tried. One day I finally surrendered and came his way. In 5 minutes' time, it was gone. It took me a little bit longer than that to settle down and quit expressing how grateful I was to him. But in 5 minutes, it was gone, Brother David. Into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me anymore. Amen. You may have a seat for just a moment. I just got a few little preliminaries here that we have to do before we let the musicians go. But we're certainly thankful for this opportunity to be able to be here before you. Not worthy. You pray for me. I was reminded this morning on the way to church that I'm still very human. I've already been to church once this morning. Sister Hoover was anointed, and because of an action that I took that I shouldn't have taken, because somebody didn't know how to drive the way that I thought they ought to drive. She got anointed and she preached me a sermon. She's not called to preach, but she sure was anointed, Brother Jimmy. You know what? It took me about 2 miles down the road, but I finally had to look over at her and say, thank you. Appreciate that. I needed that. But once conviction hits, as a minister, when the conviction comes, you're supposed to be quiet and let conviction work. But she kept on preaching. But I love her. So hopefully I can get as anointed as she was. I hope you've been enjoying Brother Nathan's vacation. I sure have. And I mean that in this way. Brother Arnie set me on fire the other night. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and confess to him and tell him. I've got about a 26-part series off of that message that he preached. I can't wait. There's a brother that had asked me to come and preach for him next weekend. You pray for me because I have to travel and minister. But I'm thinking they might get some of that. You ain't seen nothing yet. Think about it. Think about heaven. You ain't seen nothing yet. Think about the rapture. You ain't seen nothing. I mean, it's just endless. I could preach for the rest of time on that. I appreciate that, brother. That was powerful. And then Brother Layton comes along the other night and preaches a masterpiece. And just, I was sitting there. I was supposed to speak to the young people Thursday night. And the Lord had already put a thought on my heart. And then Brother Layton comes and preaches it from a different angle than the way I was going to present it, but still the same thing about the need for the Holy Ghost. And, only God can do that. So in that way, I have been enjoying Brother Nathan's vacation because these brothers have really blessed me, and I just appreciate it. And I told Brother Layton, I said, you all set the bar real high. And then I have to get up here. He reminded me it's not a competition, and I'm not competing, but I tell you, it does put pressure on a person to have to follow two messages like we've heard. And I don't know how you've been praying for Brother Nathan, but I've been praying for sunny skies, 75 to 80 degree weather for him and Sister Rebecca and the kids, because if I was on vacation, if I was in Florida, that's what I'd want. So I've just been praying, Lord, let it rain at night when they're asleep and just give them sunny skies all day long and just let them have time of their life, because they deserve it, don't you think? Amen. But we're certainly looking forward to him coming home, and you just be praying for him. He has to minister this morning and again tonight, and then he has to minister Wednesday night on his way home. So my boys used to always say, Dad, when were you going to take a vacation? Every time we go on vacation, you preach. That's not a vacation. But when you're a minister, that's what you have to do. Amen? You love the Lord this morning? Amen. Just worship the Lord. Sister Stephanie learned a new song yesterday, and hopefully the way she learned it off of the video is the same way that I sing it. I believe it is, but you just pray for us this morning. This is a song that we used to sing in the Pentecostal church. But I think that was the Pentecostal denomination. But I think us being Pentecostals from the book of Acts and the day of Pentecost, we probably understand this song better than anybody else. Now, it's very simple. The words say, look where the Lord has brought us. Look where the Lord has brought us. He has brought us a mighty, mighty long way. With a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, the children of Israel had a pillar of fire at night, and they had a pillar of cloud by day. And God, in his great economy, he didn't want you and I to feel cheated. So one night in Houston, Texas, he gave us a pillar of fire. And one day out in the Arizona desert, he gave us a pillar of cloud. And just as he told the children of Israel to follow Moses, said, here, this is the way, walk you therein. I'm going to, Brother Anthony just pointed out, God's timing's pretty good, isn't it? Just as he told the children of Israel, this is the way, walk ye therein. He told us through that pillar of fire and through that pillar of cloud, this is the way, walk ye therein. So you worship the Lord with me as we sing this song as we get ready to go to the Word.
Oh, look where the Lord has brought us. Oh, just look where the Lord has brought us. He has brought us from a mighty long way. Oh, yes, with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Oh, blessed be the
Some of y'all are looking at me like I got three heads. You don't know what I'm talking about, but let me just remind you of where you used to be. Remember what it was like when you was down there in that hog pen? Remember what it was like when you was sitting in that denominational church pew? Remember what it was like when you were bound by that lust or bound by those drugs or bound by that alcohol or whatever it was? Just take a moment and think about where you was and where you are today. And I think you can raise your hands with me, and I think you can sing with me, and I think you can worship the Lord and say, oh, just look where the Lord has brought us. You want to stand with me? Oh, look where the Lord has brought us. Oh, he brought us from a mighty long way. Oh, yes, with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, just look Go ahead and give him some praise.
Look where the Lord has brought us. He has brought us such a mighty, mighty long way. Oh, yes, with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Oh, blessed be the
give him some praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, Lord, we magnify
you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you didn't leave me sitting in that church pew, but you called me out one day. You let light shine across my pathway. Never been the same. Aren't you thankful for that? Oh, my. You ought to be. You ought to be. If you're not thankful now, maybe you will be by the end of the service. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Starting with the first verse. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. While you're standing, let's turn to Galatians, the 4th chapter, and the 19th verse, Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come here, we're standing behind this desk that's been dedicated for the ministry and the going forth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it would behoove me, Lord, to be careful and to fully surrender myself, Lord, and get myself out of the way so that only your thoughts and your words would come across to the people. I pray you would just hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. I pray you would anoint the ears of the listeners to hear with the same spirit that you will be speaking through me. Heavenly Father, I've done my best to search out and to try to understand the channel that you want us to operate in this morning. I just ask now, Lord, that you would take over and your anointing would come on both the speaker and the hearer. Be with our brother Nathan right now, Lord, perhaps in the pulpit at the same time. Anoint him, Lord. Anoint that congregation, Lord, to be able to hear the word of the Lord. And Heavenly Father, when all is said and done, we'll raise our hands and our hearts to you and we'll say, thank you, Jesus, for coming down and being in our midst this morning and speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, perhaps there would be someone who's hearing me minister for the first time. Hopefully whoever invited you warned you a little bit about Brother David's ministry, because Paul said, if you'll bear with me in my folly, so evidently he had a unique ministry as well. But I don't minister like a lot of other people, so you just bear with me. As it comes to me, I just deliver it to you. And Paul says that he was going to present these Corinthians to Jesus Christ. Yes. A man, just like Brother Layton, just like myself, just like your pastor, a man is going to present the Corinthian church to the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood his task. Just as the prophet in our day, the first church age messenger, understood his task, Paul said, I'm charged by the Holy Spirit, and I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I'm not trying to lord over you. I'm not trying to be the boss. I'm not trying to be the big I and you all are little U's. But I've been charged by the Holy Spirit. One of these days I'm going to have to stand before God Almighty and I'm going to present a church. Amen. And the Corinthian church, they had to have a lot of correction. And Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time one day. And he was there with the people and all of them were coming up and hugging him and telling him, you know, where our soul is hanging on what you preach, Brother Branham. And he said, where's Jesus? And they said, he's just a little bit higher in another dimension, but you'll present us one day to him. He said, will Paul have to answer? They said, yes. He said, praise God, I preached what Paul preached. And so there's a charge given me as a minister of the gospel. I have to deliver to you the word as it comes to me. These are not my ideas. These are not my opinions. And we're going to speak this morning, the Lord willing, on the subject of divine romance. And hopefully, Brother Joel, this will be the final part of the series. If I can get started here, you just pray for me. But Paul says his concern for the Corinthian church was that they would forget or they would allow their minds to be corrupted because of the world that they lived in, that their minds would be corrupted because of Satan's subtlety from the simplicity that is in Christ. And then he comes along in Galatians and tells that church, he says, here's the thing that you watch me, you watch my ministry, and you wonder why Paul is like he is and why he does the things that he does. It's because I'm travailing in birth for you till Christ be formed in you. Now, I've only been attending this church since Easter a year ago, but I can see Christ being formed in my brothers and sisters that I'm sitting here talking to this morning. Yes. In fact, the other day, probably about a couple weeks ago, I was down in prayer, and the Holy Spirit just laid a burden on my heart. And this is going to sound, this may sound silly to you, but I've tried, and I missed Wednesday, okay? But every day of my life, I watch, and the Holy Spirit just impressed upon me, don't let a day go by without telling someone that you see Jesus in them. And be sincere. Don't just make it up just to make somebody feel good. But when you see Jesus, and so Wednesday I missed it. But I did see Jesus Wednesday. I told you all about it, but I didn't tell you in this way. And she wasn't here, so I'm just going to tell her now. Sister Patty, Wednesday at your house, I saw Jesus in you. I see Christ being formed in the bride of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Now, it's not something that we compete for. It's not something that we go around wanting to wear a medal or a ribbon for. But it's a hunger and a desire that the Holy Spirit put in us when God came into our hearts one day and changed us. Our purpose is that Christ be formed in us. That's what this romance is all about. The simplicity that is in Christ. If we could just keep that foremost in our mind. God did not give us a algebraic formula for salvation. He didn't. He didn't say if you attend church on a certain day of the week and a certain person preaches and you're sitting in a certain pew, then you've got a chance. He didn't say that. He said whosoever will repent. Appreciated Thursday night, Brother Stephen was talking about that he had dealt with this in his class. The formula, the recipe, the prescription for salvation. Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost. I'm glad it's a simple gospel, aren't you? So the simplicity of it is that God loves you, and you love God, and Christ is in you, and you produce the life of Christ.
Yes.
That's it. Amen. We can go home. But we're not going to yet. Brother Branham says in a message, "Hear ye him." He's talking about, well, let me just read it for you. He says, "The hope of all the ages rests there on the person of the Lord Jesus returning the second time." He was a man, yes, but he was the God-man. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Jehovah's tabernacle. "Not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me," said the Son. He doeth the works. In other words, now, Brother Branham's going to take that and show us the practical application, the simplicity of it, and he's going to apply it to our lives. He says, in other words, in that day, when Jesus was walking upon the earth and said those words, he said, the Father was the vine, he was the branch to bear the fruit of God. Now, this day, to me and you, now he becomes the vine and we become the branch. And all that was in God was poured into Christ. Are you ready? Here it is. It may gag you a little, but listen. All that was in Christ was poured into the church. The works that I do shall you also. More than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. You see it? We are living under our God-given privileges that God has redeemed us to. Now, when he says we are living under, he doesn't mean like this, that they're hanging over us. What he means is we haven't lived up to our potential yet. We haven't lived up to everything that Jesus Christ died and redeemed us for. We're living below our God-given privileges. If every one of us could catch that right there, if every one of us could get that vision of what the prophet was saying and what Jesus Christ has a desire to do in your life and mine, there wouldn't be a sick person in here. There wouldn't be a person longing for the Holy Ghost in here. There wouldn't be a person that didn't have salvation sitting amongst us. Because if every one of us could get that frame of mind and understand what Jesus Christ died for and the love that he has for this bride and the love that we should have back to him and how much we really mean to him, and I'm going to try to portray that to you over the next few moments. If we could understand just exactly what we appear to him in his eyes, in his sight, then we would understand why there's a young man sitting amongst us this morning that an angel came along. Because that's part of his God-given privileges. And you see, when he took on... thank you, Brother Furman. This isn't in my notes, okay? But when he took off yesterday on his bike, he just had enough faith. Jesus is with me. I don't have to worry. I'm with Jesus. Oh, if we could operate with that childlike faith, folks. Jesus is with me. It's going to be all right. Now, the angel that was put in charge and to look at him, he might have been calling for backup. But he was there. And I don't know if you'll ever see that woman, Brother Furman, till you get over there. I don't know if she's a resident of this world. Brother Branham says in another message called Perfection, just give me a few minutes, I'm setting a little background here. Brother Branham says, God being infinite, who cannot lie, cannot speak anything contrary, knows everything, just as perfect at the beginning as he is at the ending, and just as perfect at the end as he was the beginning. God is endless like eternity. You can never find the corner of a perfect circle. You could run and run through ages and eternity, and there never, never, never be an end to it. We can't even imagine that. We can't grasp that idea, but it's the truth. Since the day we were born, we've been measuring things by a calendar, by a clock, by a watch on our wrist. We've been measuring time since the day we came into this world. But God has no calendar. He has no wristwatch. He has no time clock. He is. He is. That's the only way you can describe it. He was trying to help Moses one day to be able to explain it to the people. He said, just tell them I am. I am. Not I was, not I'm going to be, I am. Because it's always present in his presence. It's always the present. You get in the presence of the Lord, you don't get tired. That's why preachers can preach for 3 hours. But he says you can never find the corner of a perfect circle. You could run and run through ages and eternity, and there'd never, never, never be an end to it. And that's the way God is. And when he before, what God, which always was, he was infinite, perfect to begin with, and he'll always be the same. He can never change. He is perfectly the same. Now, this great chain of perfection was broken by time, space. There's a whole new message in this, but I'm going to have to just hit a couple points here and go on. Time came because of sin. Adam and Eve never aged until sin. That's why whenever he says all that was in God was poured into Christ, all that was in Christ was poured into the church. For what? To take us back to all that Adam lost. Because what Adam lost was no pain, no grief. We were trying to explain this to the young people the other night during the Bible study of what it's going to be like. There won't be any tension. Now you just think of a time in your life that there wasn't any tension. It's hard. You can't come up with it, can you? There's always been something. There's always a little something that rubs you the wrong way. Could have been your brother or sister. Could have been your mom and dad. Could have been your kids. Could have been your pastor. Could have been the saints sitting next to you. Could have been the people you worked with. But there's always been. But there, no one's ever going to look and say, why do you wear that tie? Why did she sing that song? Why? There's none. Folks, again, you can't wrap this your little human mind around it, but it's real. And that's what we've been redeemed back to. That's our inheritance. He says, time came because of sin. Thank you, Brother Furman. Go ahead. Let's draw a picture of time. Let's see a perfect circle forever, forever. Is it going to work? Oh, there it is. All right. With my Hardin County education, this is my perfect circle. But eternity. Brother Branham said one place it's like a wedding band. There's no end. All right? God right here is the same as God right there, is the same as God up there, is the same as God over here. Anytime you encounter God, because he's an eternal God, he is the same. Amen. Now, your concept of him, your ability to understand Him, your ability to believe His word can vary. That's because you're in a human element. But where God is, it's just the same. And it's not boring either. It's the same. His healing power is the same. His saving power is the same. His glory is the same. He doesn't get more glorious one day and then not the next, because there's no day there. It's just, you're there. I hope you understand that. Brother Branham says, and then all of a once, sin dropped in and put a little, as my wife calls it, a little hickey or a little drop in the chain. So it comes down now. It comes down now. Eternity continues on, because God doesn't change. Eternity continues on, but it's not in its perfect condition. Here's a little gap comes down, breaks over this way, goes out this way. God had to do that because Satan caused it. So, here's God's great eternity. And here is time. Now let's blow that up a little bit, Brother Furman. So I've enlarged it. This is the continuous circle, even though I didn't draw it all the way up. And here's creation. And the fall in the garden. And time began. And here's the end of time, because there is a time, there's coming a place where time shall be no more. And you won't get tired. And you won't get weary. And you won't get grouchy because the wife didn't fix the food exactly right, or because the husband didn't pick up the dirty clothes and put them in the hamper. That'll all be gone. But for right now, we're in this element, we're subject to this element of time. Now, if I could, the one thing I did miss, I apologize, but right about here, there's a cross. Okay? There's a cross right there. And so, if the cross is right here, then right down here, there's a little bitty bump. You probably can't see it from your pew, but there's a little bitty bump. That's 2017. That's you. That makes me feel real insignificant. That humbles you down when you realize, in the economy of God, I'm just a little bitty bump right there. And I've been here 59 years. So my 59 years is just a little bump. That means the problem that I'm having right now, the issues that are going on in my life, I hope you're catching this, the issues that are going on in my life are so minute and so minuscule, but Satan tries to blow them up and tell you, this is it. You ain't going to make it because of this issue right here. You've lost. God's forgot about you. But God hasn't forgot about you. Because let's flip back to the second one, please. You forgive me. I'm not as technologically advanced as Brother Nathan is, so I have to have help with this. All right. The reason that you should rejoice this morning is because the God that owns all of this, the God that created all of this, one day stood up off of His throne. Now, I'm just going to dramatize it for you a little bit. Gabriel comes up to Him and says, God, what's the problem? There is no problem. What do you mean there's no problem? You're getting up off your throne. What are you doing? And He takes His robe off. And Michael says, hey, I can handle this. What? Tell me what the problem is. I can handle it. God says, no, you can't handle it, Michael. You're a great warrior, but you can't handle this one. Gabriel says, I could do it. God says, no, you can't. Wormwood says, let me try. God says, no, I'm going down myself so that I can understand how that feels to be in this time element. So I can tell them in 2017 in the middle of Laodicea, don't worry, I've got this handled. Yes. I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly how you feel, because I've reduced myself. This great, huge, omnipotent, all-knowing God reduced Himself down so that He would know what it was like to be just a bump. Amen. On that timeline. Amen. And He did it without sinning. He did it without caving into Satan. And he did it for you and I. For one reason. He loved us so much that he wanted us to be able to experience that. When I think about that, it just absolutely makes me want to fly. And at the same time, it makes me so ashamed. And here's why. Because I spend all my time, and I waste God's time whining and crying to him about something as minuscule as this, when he, because of the shed blood of Calvary, has allowed me the opportunity to tap into this. This is our resource. Now, there's a whole other message I can preach on this. I might sometime. But I'll just give you this little tidbit. If I could convince Brother Jimmy today that in First Harrison Bank, over on Allison Lane, in an account, there is $1 million that has his name on it. If I could convince him of that, do you think he'd worry about the pennies that are in his pocket? And yet we spend most of our waking time and have trouble falling asleep and wake up in a bad mood or a grouchy mood because we're so worried about this right here when we have this at our disposal.
Amen.
And it dropped down to a space of time for the trying and the perfecting and for the purging of the lost. That God, by his sovereign grace, might someday lift that little hickey or gap back into the perfect circle. Then she rose on just the same. You see it? So a prophet of God goes beyond the curtain of time, has visions, is given revelation by Jesus Christ. And if I could, again, dramatize it to you, standing right here on the edge, another place he says the brink of eternity, he's standing there, and he's holding the cord. And one of these days, when the last one comes in, or the Mora, he's just going to pull on that cord. And time is just going to go right back up and fade into eternity. And I'm going to be there. And you're going to be there. Not because I did anything great. Not because you did anything great. Just because he loves us. You know why he loves us? Because we're his bride.
Amen.
So the simplicity of it is this. We're living below our God-given privileges. We're in this element called time. But it's not permanent. Now, in the sales business, I had a boss one time who told me, when I get down, I go into a sales slump, he would say to me, David, it's not permanent. It's not permanent. You might be having a sales slump today. You're just three quick sales away from being good. It's not permanent. So I'm telling you this morning, because of who you are, the bride of Jesus Christ, the trial that you're going through, the perfecting that you're going through, because that's what he said it's for, it's not permanent. Sister Patty, it's not permanent. Sister Christy, it's not permanent. Sister Eplon, it's not permanent. Because in the morning, there's a new shipment of blessings. He daily loaded us with benefits. We won't get on that again. All right? So we're involved in this love affair. And the purpose of this love affair is one thing. What's the purpose of the love affair? I'm just going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud, but I just want you to think for a minute. All you brothers that are sitting here that are married, why did you fall in love? And why did you get married? And you sisters, why did you worry and be anxious and all this about, oh Lord, am I ever going to find the right man? And Lord, is he even anywhere out there? Has he even crossed on my radar screen? Why'd you do that? Because there was something in you that wanted to have a relationship. And the end result of that relationship is you bring forth life. Okay? That's what causes that desire between a man and a woman, is because there's a need in us to reproduce. Because way back in the beginning, God told Adam and Eve, he said, go forth and multiply. All right? And so you looked and you said, oh, isn't she cute? And you looked and said, why doesn't he have cute feet? Until you heard the word of the Lord. But you had a desire in you. And that was a holy desire. Now Satan comes along and perverts it and corrupts it. Okay? But the simplicity is, you had that desire from God Almighty, because God had a desire there in eternity all by himself. He had a desire to have a relationship and to have someone that could reproduce him. And that's where you and I fit into the picture. And that's just glorious. That's absolutely wonderful. When I begin to think about the simplicity of that, is that God wanted to reproduce himself, and he needed someone to be able to reproduce himself in. He did it in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had a desire for a many-membered body. And so, knowing that that's the desire of God, is to reproduce himself, what kind of a life would it reproduce if we allowed him to reproduce himself in us? Now, I know you know the answer to that, but let's just look into it for a little bit. All right? Brother Branham says in a message on... well, if I can get my... I told you I'm not good at this. But on a message called "It Is the Rising of the Sun," he's talking about the mechanics and the dynamics. Now, he takes an automobile. In his day, it was a Cadillac. He takes a Cadillac and he begins to explain that there are the mechanics of the car. Okay, the way the engine is put together, the way it's married up to the transmission, the way that that all hooks to the drivetrain and causes the car to go down the road whenever you put it in gear. But he says, a lot of people have the mechanics, but they're missing the dynamics. And the dynamics is the gasoline that's in the tank and the spark from the spark plug, that when you turn the key and the starter sends the current to the spark plug and it sparks and the gas fires, that's what actually makes the car go down the road. And he's explaining all that. And he's talking about Jesus. In his life, he said he had the mechanics with the dynamics. And he says that's what he proved, hallelujah, talking about Easter morning. He says that's what Easter proved. He wasn't only the Word, but he was God himself, the dynamics in the Word that made the body of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. We don't always think about this when we hear the Easter story. He says, but it made the body of Jesus Christ cold, stiff, and dead in the grave, shake into life and rise again, and roll away the stone. So the body of Jesus Christ is taken down off the cross and laid in a tomb, and Brother Branham says it's cold, stiff, and dead. But there was some dynamics that the devil hadn't factored in. The devil had the mechanics, and he was able to scheme, and he was able, to his way of thinking, be able to take and hush those mechanics. He'll never raise another dead person. He'll never open another blinded eye. I've got him laying there in the tomb. He is cold, stiff, and dead. My lackeys have come from the garden tomb, and they have told me this morning that the body is cold, stiff, and dead. But he forgot about the dynamics. And the dynamics came into that body and caused it to rise again. He says, and roll away the stone. I am he that was dead. So dead till the sun said he was dead. The moon said he was dead. The stars said he was dead. All nature said he was dead. And now the whole world has to recognize that he's alive again. He was not only the mechanics, God's word, he was the dynamics to prove it. And as he, speaking of Jesus Christ, and as he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. Just as Eve had to come forth out of the side of Adam because she was in there and she had to be manifested, you were in the body of Jesus Christ. You were there on Calvary when he died. You were there whenever he rose from the tomb, and you had to be produced. You had to be manifested because that's your purpose. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all the revelations any others has spoke of the bride. So Brother Branham says, you're not only going to fulfill what I say about you as a bride, you're going to fulfill every word that was spoken of you in the Bible. So when the Bible says in Revelations, his wife has made herself ready, you and I have to fulfill that. Now we can strain and we can try and we can say, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be better when that guy cuts me off in traffic, I'm going to be better. But you can't produce it. No more than a sheep can make wool come, you can't make the life of Jesus Christ display in you. You have to allow it to. You have to die to yourself. You have to yield yourself. Just as I'm having to yield myself so it's not my ideas and it's not my thoughts, you have to yield yourself so it's not your life, because we don't need any more Hoovers. Although there's one on the way in February, we don't need more Hoovers to make this world a better place. There's two sisters that should really be saying amen right about now. Sister Jeannie and Sister Lori. They have firsthand knowledge. All right? But you cannot produce this of yourself. You cannot make this happen. But if you'll die to yourself, if you'll get dead enough, Jesus Christ will live. And he says it's going to be the manifestation or the fulfilling of all the revelations any others have spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. Now here's what I really want you to get out of this quote. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't bride. Now I'm just going to preach to myself for a little bit here. You mean this morning, when that guy pulled that shenanigan in traffic and I reacted, that was not bride material right there. That was 100% Hoover through and through. And my dear wife has seen enough of that that she knows it's not going to take us anywhere. And so she gently reminded me of that. Sometimes you come to church and something happens on the way to church. Something happens at work. Something happens in the car on the way to church. And the preacher gets up and begins to preach. And what is it? It's the Holy Spirit saying, I love you enough. Would you just come close? I'd just like to hold you for a minute. I'd like to wrap my arms around you. I'd like to let you know just how special you are. I know you made a mistake. I know you shouldn't have done that, and it didn't please me. But you're still my bride, and I love you. And we're going to get through this. And it's going to be okay. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. I'm being honest with you. I have a hard time digesting that. I know it's the truth. I know that he said it. I know he was anointed when he said it. But when I take the mirror of the word and I look in it, I go, that don't look very bride-like to me. Oh God. And then I get down on my knees as I did this morning. And I say, Lord, you forgive me. Yes. Let me die again. Yes. Paul said I had to die daily. Yes. Let me die again. Let me get Hoover pushed over to the side. In fact, let me just slay that man. Okay? I'm not talking about cutting my throat or anything like that. But let me just get so out of the way that the next time that happens, because you know it's going to happen? Because I didn't pass the test this morning. And what happens in school if you don't pass the test? You could take it again. I don't understand why all these people in southern Indiana don't know how to drive. But one of these days, Brother Arnie, I'm going to pass that test. And I'm going to drive down the road and I'm going to say, God bless them. And at that moment, I'm going to say, wow, David Hoover doesn't talk like that. That had to be the Holy Ghost. And after I get my wife revived, we'll go on down the road together. Because she already asked me sometimes, when somebody does something in traffic, she goes, I thought you were driving my car, but there you go down in that car. The Bible said she's given to me for a helpmeet. Moving along.
Praise the Lord.
Well, now I don't know how. I don't even know. Let me see if I can get it. Nope, we'll just have to go on. So Brother Branham's preaching one day on a message called The Token, November of 63. He's preaching on The Token and he says, I know y'all have heard this, but it bears repeating. He says, if I told you I had the life of Shakespeare in me, you'd expect me to write poetry? He said, if the life of Shakespeare was in me, he said, see, I would do that. He said, but I'm a minister and Shakespeare's a poet and we can't live in the same house. Think about that. Brother Branham said, You can't have two people living in this house. There's only room for one. So it's either going to be the spirit of Jesus living in you or the spirit of Hoover living in you. But he says, if I had the spirit of Shakespeare, I'd do the things of Shakespeare. If I had the spirit of Beethoven, I'd write music. If I had the spirit of Dillinger, I would do like John Dillinger. I'd be shooting people. I'd be robbing banks. Because that's the spirit of that person. That's why he took us over into the Old Testament. Brother Layton got on it the other night at the Bible study for the youth. He said, I will put a new spirit within you. Because Brother Branham said that you couldn't even live with yourself until Jesus Christ gave you a new spirit. And then he said, and then I'll put my spirit within you because you can't get along with the Holy Ghost. But when he puts that new spirit in you, then you can get along with the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother David, why is it so hard? Because there are twins. There's this flesh that you're seeing. And then there's the real David Hoover that's inside. Brother Branham says one place like this. He says, you say, well, I see you. I see Ormond Neville. He said, no, you haven't. He said, you just saw the shell. You just saw the housing that Ormond Neville lives in. One of these days, he's going to lay that old shell down. But that doesn't mean that's the end of Ormond Neville. I'm not preaching this morning to this Jimmy Ard sitting here that I'm looking at. I'm preaching to that Jimmy Ard that's on the inside. Because that's the one that's going up one of these days. Because when they put old Paul on the chopping block and they cut his head rolled one way, his body slumped the other, and they said, we got that guy. We don't have to listen to that kind of preaching anymore. But that guy that was laying there, that was just casing. The real Paul went up. Because he said, before it all happened, he said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's why, can I have that, the one with the time, the bigger one? No, the other one. Yeah, that's why Brother Branham said, why are you spending so much money dressing up this guy? You put a suit on him, you put a tie on him, you look in the mirror and you go, ain't he something? No, he's that bump right there. That's all he is. But the guy that's inside of here, he's worth all of eternity. But that's why it's so hard. Because this guy that you're seeing, this guy, wants to have the dominance. He wants to have the preeminence. And Paul said, we want Christ to have the preeminence. We want that inner man to have the preeminence. Just like the old Indian chief. Which dog are you feeding? Okay? We spend all our time, we spend all of our energy working on this guy. Ain't he handsome? Look, how much money must he have? If we only knew. My father-in-law used to say, I'd like to buy that guy for what he's really for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. We spend so much time on this. And where was it 96, 94 cents, I think it was, Brother Branham said, if you took this human body and reduced it down to the chemicals that's in it, now this was in the 60s, of course, it'd be worth 84 cents. I think it was 84 cents. So, Brother Buckles, what are you going to do with your 84 cents today? Well, the man inside of Brother Buckles got up this morning, and the 84 cents worth wanted to just sit there or just wanted to lay there. But the man inside, the real Brother Buckles, said, come on, 84 cents. We're getting dressed and we're going to church. Because there's something down inside of me. I've got to worship the Lord. I've got to gather with the saints. I've got to be able to say how much I love the Lord Jesus. And the one thing's for sure, whether the 84 cents feels like it or not, I'm going to go let the devil know what side I'm on. A sister asked me, probably 6 months ago, she asked me a question. Now, I couldn't answer it right then, but I think I can answer it now. I'm still talking about the life of Jesus Christ. You just bear with me. This is a multi-membered body, right? We're all creatures of time. We're down here walking along, being our little bump that we are. But we've got an eternal purpose. We've got an eternal reason for being here. Yes. and that's to bring forth the life of Jesus Christ. So this sister asked me, she says, how come I can't just be happy and carefree like this sister? How come when I hear the word being preached, whenever I play one of the tapes, whenever I get under anointed preaching, something just grips my heart and I just have to cry out to God? And I couldn't answer, but now I can. And the answer is birth pains. Birth pains. It's a multi-membered body, right? Everybody doesn't get to be the big toe. Everybody doesn't get to be the heart that pumps the blood. Brother Jeremy, he might be the heart. He's pumping the blood. All right? I might be the little toe. But everybody has a part to play. Now, I can tell you from experience, when Sister Jeannie was giving birth to our three sons, that her womb started having birth pains before the rest of the body took notice. Okay? She would be going along and her hands would be doing what they were supposed to be doing, you know, folding clothes or fixing food or teaching the children or whatever. And her hands and her feet were doing what they were supposed to be doing, Jimmy. But all of a sudden, she would go, I'd say, are you all right? Yeah, I just had a contraction. So don't worry. If you're in the middle of a Holy Ghost contraction, I'm trying to bring this picture to you in a way that you'll be able to understand. Don't worry if you're in a Holy Ghost contraction and somebody else is over here, another part of the body's over here, acting like, I don't really know what's wrong with her. I don't know what's making him act like that. How come he's down at the altar all the time? Because the Holy Ghost is trying to be formed in him and trying to bring forth that life. That's what's going on. But let me tell you something. There came a time, and it'll happen in this assembly. It'll happen in the bride universal around the world. There came a point when the contractions got to the point that life was so close. Let me tell you. The fingers that was peeling potatoes before, you know what they were doing? They were gripping something and going, oh! And the little toe that had, as far as I'm concerned, no part in giving birth, it was feeling the pain too. So if you're sitting there and you're burdened and you just can't seem to find the joy, just hold on and you just do your part. Because you're probably going to be the person that God's going to use to bring the rest of us into the birth pains and get us all involved in bringing forth this life. It doesn't mean something's wrong with you, sister. It doesn't mean that you're not normal. It doesn't mean that that other person that's over there going, isn't God good and doesn't feel anything. Don't worry. Before we get out of this world, you know what they're going to be doing? Oh, Jesus, come on the scene. Oh, God, be formed in my life. They'll be there before it's over. Big toe or not, it's all part of the body. I hope that helps you. Brother Branham says in a message, recognizing your day in its message, he's talking about the preview of the bride. I'm trying to close. He's talking about a preview of the bride where he saw the bride coming forth and then he saw her begin to stray. And then he said, then the voice said, I'd read it to you, but my phone's messed up. He said, then a voice said, the bride's going to come in view again. Why did he do that? Because there was a first age bride and the seventh age bride. And in between, they got a little off. But he said that the seventh age bride was going to look just like the first age bride. Because she's made of the same stuff. And he says, and she comes by again. And he goes, and my heart began to rejoice to know. He wasn't thinking it. He wasn't hoping it. He wasn't make-believing it. He said, to know there will be a bride. So as sure as I'm sitting here looking at you this morning, I'm looking at part of the manifestation of that bride of Jesus Christ, who is going to produce His life. And she's doing it now. She's doing it now. Brother Nathan put it up on the board the other night. The sister had her hands laid on, standing right here. You all watched her come up here and get prayed for. She stood right here. And Brother Nathan and the ministers anointed her. And she had a lump on her head. But she went back to Florida and she doesn't have the lump on her head anymore. What is that? That's the bride of Jesus Christ. That's the body operating the way that it's supposed to be. That's what He wants to do through us. Not just for signs and wonders and miracles, but for someone to look and say, I saw Jesus in you. Amen. Brother Furman, tell me what it is that makes you do that. How are you able to stand still in the midst of the storm and just be calm and know that everything's going to be okay? I'm having trouble with that. But God displays Himself in Brother Furman. He displayed Himself the other night with Sister Patty sitting on her couch. And it's not just for me, but it's for that neighbor. It's for that loved one. It's for that co-worker. Luke, what makes you act like that? How come you didn't get all upset the other day when that guy said that about you? It just wasn't in me. There might have been a time it was in Brother Luke to react that way. It might still tempt this Luke to act that way. But there's a new Luke inside there.
Yes.
Our problem is, we look at someone who's been serving the Lord for 4 years, and we've been serving the Lord for 25 years or 30 years or whatever, and we expect that 4-year-old to act like the 30-year-old. Don't worry about the 4-year-old. He's part of the body. And he'll be just as perfect when God gets done with him as you're going to be whenever God gets done with you. But just remember, when you was 4 years old, and that 30-year-old saint of God, I'm talking about spiritual years, not natural years, that 30-year-old saint of God set you down one day and said, Brother David, could I have a talk with you? I noticed you've been doing this. I noticed you said this the other day. That just grieved the Holy Spirit. And I just felt like I need to say something to you. You're going to make it, brother. You're going to be all right. But you're 4 years old. And you need to start growing up. And then when you got in your teen years spiritually, and doctrines come along and tried to pull you this way and pull you that way, aren't you glad you had a 30-year-old saint to kind of pull you to the side and say, don't worry about that, Brother David. It'll be all right. We're all part of the body of Christ. We just need to do our part. And guess what? Jesus Christ is going to be seen in us.
Amen.
So in Ephesians, in closing here, Ephesians, the second chapter, Here's what I trust has happened this morning in your heart and in your life. In Ephesians, the second chapter and the 6th verse, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus and he says, let me just start with the 5th verse. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Well, no, let's go start with the 4th verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath, not going to, hath. He has done it. Okay? He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this morning, Brother Furman, you're sitting here along this timeline, wherever God put you. You didn't have any control of it. You didn't get to decide when you was going to be born, when you was going to be here on earth. You're just here. But by the preaching of the gospel and the blood of Jesus Christ, we gather together like this, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes down, and the man of God begins to preach, and all of a sudden, you're no longer sitting in a pew at 1221 Silver Street. But you're in the midst of a holy congregation. You're in the midst of a Holy Ghost meeting where the Holy Ghost has come down and has elevated you. Because as long as you stay down here is, oh me, oh my, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But the Holy Ghost comes along and begins to preach to you about what your position is and who you really are in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit just begins to lift you up. And you begin to look over at your wife, or you begin to look over at your husband, or to your parents, or to your children, and you realize, this battle isn't as bad as I was made to believe that it was. This trial isn't as dark as I thought it was. I can see light at the end of the tunnel. I can see the hand of God moving in my life. I can see God's hand of protection watching over me. And he just lifts you up, Brother Jimmy. And you're made to sit together in heavenly places. Why? Because you're the bride of Jesus Christ. And that big circle, that's what he has for you. And he's standing here. Brother Branham said, he's more willing to give than you are to receive it. Amen. He said, I'm just going to use Brother Barry as an example. He said, Brother Barry's sitting here. And he needs a blessing. All right? He knows he needs a blessing. God knows he needs a blessing. And he said, if we was to take a funnel, okay, and put it right over Brother Barry here, and we was to take everything that there is of God, all of God's riches, all of God's goodness, all of God's blessings, and we was to begin to pour it from heaven into this funnel, think of the power. No wonder he would act the way he would act. Think about how much force there is, how much power there is wanting to get into Barry and live through him. Not so he can say, hey, look at me, look at me. No, it'll humble him down. Brother Branham says it won't make a stuffed shirt out of you. It'll humble you. But can't you just picture the Holy Ghost this morning? With the funnel sitting here and going, Brother Barry, just open up. If you'll just open up. If you'll just receive it, brother. I've got what you need. I've got it right here. And yet sometimes we sit and go, well, if he wants me to clap my hands, he'll make me clap my hands. If he wants me to raise my hands, he'll make me raise my hands. If he wants me to do this, he can make me do it. No. As we told the young people the other night during Bible study, Brother Branham said there's the outward body and there's five senses or five porches to that. There's an inward body and there's five porches to that. He says, but when it comes down to the soul, there's just one gate. And it's either faith or fear. Some of you, if you just look up this morning, you would see the end of that funnel right over your head. And you know why that funnel is not pouring stuff into your life? Because you're afraid. I might act like Brother David. I might scream like Sister So-and-so. I might dance in the aisle like Brother Jimmy does sometimes. Well, as long as you let fear stand there at the door of your soul, you can look up all you want to. But the minute you say, I don't care. What I act like, what I look like, how I sound, what anybody else thinks. God, I got to have you, and I got to have everything that you have for me. And you just open up, And let faith open that door, and God will pour himself into you in ways that you have never imagined. Why? Because you're the bride of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham says in the first seal, he's just preaching along in the first seal, and he's explaining wish I could pull it up. I don't want to misquote it. But he's preaching along, and he says, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see it? You people. Now, that was people sitting in the tabernacle. Okay? But he says, you people. And then there's a pause, and he says, I'll call you bride. So you can understand it. You can't receive it as a church member. You can't receive it as just a message believer. You can't receive it just with your normal thinking. But when he recognizes you and says, bride, look, I can sit here and I can say, Patty, 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 Patty. I can say it all morning long. It's just a man saying a woman's name. But you know what? You let Brother Jimmy say, Patty. There's communication there that I don't understand. I'll never have that communication with Sister Patty. That's reserved only for him and his bride. And God come down in this day and age that we live in, and he spoke to us. Unlike he spoke to anyone else ever. And he said on the first seal, I'll call you bride. I don't know what that does for you, but whenever Jesus Christ says, listen, bride. Bride, I want to talk to you. It does something down inside of me. It does something for me. Thank you. And he says, and only is to be revealed at the last day when this actual seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ. There was no need for him to reveal the seals to himself. He knew what was under the seals. But there was a little group. There was a body of believers on the face of the earth that was going to need rapturing faith. That was going to need strength to live through Satan's Eden. He says, not to Christ, but to the church. Notice now. Oh my, that just makes me tremble. Yes. I hope that the church truly understands it, what I mean, you people. I'm going to call you bride. See? That you'll understand it. Yes. Just as Brother Jimmy sometimes, he can just be talking along. And then all of a sudden he goes, Patty, I want to tell you something. Her attention changes. You can just be reading the Bible. You can just be listening to a tape. But all of a sudden, Brother Jerry, something will quicken down inside of you. And you'll hear the voice of God say, Jerry, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Why? Because he's the bride of Jesus Christ. Not because his name is Jerry Bryant. Not because that his son's a pastor here. None of that. But because Jesus Christ loves him. Yes. And he's the apple of Jesus Christ's eye. And Jesus Christ says, Jerry, get this. I want you to hear it. And so then on the invisible union, Brother Branham says, been preaching along, preached an entire message, and all of a sudden he says, you. Now listen, that was not just to the folks sitting in the tabernacle in 1965. When he says you, I'm in there. Peter on the day of Pentecost, when he says it's for you and your children, as many afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call, I wasn't standing there on the day of Pentecost, so that part wasn't to me. I wasn't one of their children. That part wasn't to me. But when he got to the part, as many as afar off, well, I was afar off. But then he narrows it on down and he says, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's me. I'm in that group. I'm in that number. So Brother Branham's preaching along and he said, you are the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the living God. He goes on to say, it's as if you never did it in the first place. You have a memory. God doesn't. Why? Because he washed his own memory with the blood of Jesus Christ. And he can't remember anything you ever did wrong. You're beating yourself up. You're wondering, am I going to make it? And he's sitting there going, what are you talking about? Can you imagine? I'm just going to, y'all sitting on the front pew, so you get to get picked on. All right? Can you imagine if Sister Patty, about once a week, once a month, she came to Brother Jimmy, and she said, Jimmy, way back, X number of years ago, I did such and such, and I was thinking about it the other day, and I'm just so sorry. I shouldn't have ought to done that. And Brother Jimmy, being the husband that he is, and a man, would say, what are you talking about, Patty? She'd say, you remember when we went such and such place and I did this and I was so ashamed and you were so embarrassed? And Brother Jimmy's sitting there going, no, I don't remember it. Now, she thinks he's having a senior moment. But he's just being the groom that he's supposed to be. He's being the husband that he's... Why are you bringing that up? That was settled years ago. And that's what the Holy Spirit's saying to you this morning. Why do you keep bringing this stuff up? Right. You put that under the blood. Amen. I don't even know. It never happened. Yes. But look at this scar I got. I don't know where that scar come from. But what you're telling me, I don't know anything about it. You know why? Because we're looking at God through time into eternity. God's in eternity looking down at us in time. He's not blinded by the things we're blinded by. He's not confused about the things we're confused about. He's not worried about the things that we're worried about. He's already spoken, I'm going to have a bride. She's going to be pure. She's going to be virtuous. She's going to be sinless. She's going to stand before me without fault. As the musicians come, please. In the sales business, there's this legend. If you understand, a legend's a story that's used. It's almost like a parable, but it's not a parable. There's truth to it, okay? But it didn't actually happen. But I'm going to use it this morning. I don't know if it actually did happen or not, but there's a legend that says that there was this Indian tribe years ago. And this Indian tribe had a tradition that when a brave went to take a wife, he had to bring a gift to the father of the bride, an offer for this bride. And whatever gift he offered, that was his value. That was what he put as a value. Didn't matter what the rest of the people in the tribe thought of her. Didn't even matter what her daddy thought of her. The gift that he gave showed his true feelings and his true value that he put to that bride. So in this tribe, the chief's daughter, for lack of a better term, was homely. Her father didn't even know if he would ever get an offer. She was not a prize. And the tradition in the tribe was that most of the women, whenever the young man would, the brave would come to the father's tent door, he would have one, two, maybe three horses that he would bring. Very, very seldom somebody might offer four horses or five horses. So one day, there was a brave come walking down through the village. And everybody just stopped what they were doing and they just stared. And immediately they were trying to figure out, what tent is he going to? Because he had 10 horses leading them. And he goes straight to the chief's tent door and stops. And half the village was struck dumb. They couldn't even imagine what this guy was thinking. And the rest of them was falling down laughing at what a foolish thing this brave was doing. And the chief came out of the tent, and the young man said, "For the hand of your daughter in marriage." And the chief couldn't reach out and grab the reins fast enough. The other tradition in that tribe was that whenever a couple were married, they went away for a full year. He didn't have to do any hunting. He had enough that the tribe gave him, and they could live for a year. And then they would come back after a year, and he would take his rightful place within the tribe. And so after about a year, some young braves were out one day. They were on a fishing trip, and they looked up, and they saw two horses coming down off of the top of the mountain down into the valley. And they ran, and they said, "Hey, 10 horses coming back." And they were all looking. They wanted to see, what was this going to be like? Boy, I bet he got his eyes open during the past year. And coming down through the middle of the village, back to the chief's door, there was one of the most handsome braves standing there, so tall in the saddle, just so proud. And sitting next to him was the most beautiful woman that the village had ever seen in their life. And they all gathered around. And the chief was just, "That's my daughter? Where did you get this woman?" He said, "It's your daughter, chief." And one of the other braves spoke up and said, "Tell me how this happened." And the brave looked at him and he said, "It's very simple, fellows. If you want a 10-horse bride, you treat her like a 10-horse bride. And she'll become a 10-horse bride." I tell you that little story to ask you to reconsider the way you look at yourself, the way you look at your brother and sister. Because you're not just a 7th church age bride. You're a bride that in his eyes. Remember I said he stood up off of his throne one day and he took off his robe and he laid down his crown and he come down, Brother Arnie, and he formed himself into a body of flesh to let you know, to let me know, I gave up all of eternity. I gave up everything that I had to come down here. Because you are an eternal bride. Yes. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I didn't fully understand what all you had in this whenever you started me on Divine Romance a few months ago. But Lord, I'll admit I'm not the most romantic person that there is in the world. But when I stop and I consider what all you did, what all you gave, what all you sacrificed, God, that's the most romantic thing I've ever heard in my life, is how much you love me and how much you gave yourself for me. Lord, it doesn't make me puff out my chest and show off and brag. It humbles me down, Lord, and I say, oh God, just let me live up to what you see in me. Just let me get myself out of the way so that you can form in me that life that you want to live. Lord, you're so in love with this bride. Lord, let us be that much in love with you. We're sitting here, Lord, in this little space of time that I've demonstrated and illustrated on the screen up here. We're so worried about tomorrow's bill. We're so worried about what we're going to eat. We're so worried about whether we're going to have groceries. We're so worried about the job that we're looking for. We're so worried about all these other things. Lord, you're sitting there with an eternity full of blessings. And Lord, you didn't say we had to wait for eternity to experience them. You said that you would lift us up this morning into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Lord, just as Sister Jeannie is sitting here this morning in our presence, and if she came to me and said, I need such and such, Lord, I'd find a way to provide that for her. I might have to do without something over here, or I might have to sell something, but Lord, I'd do everything I could to provide that for her. How much more, Lord, do you love this bride? Lord, we're not worth just a horse or two. We're not even just worth 10 horses. God, we were worth all of eternity that you came down and died for us and gave yourself for us. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you. Lord, we finished with the word part of the service. Now, Lord, would you just receive our praise? Would you receive our worship as we offer it to you before we go? Because we don't want to just take your word and then just rush off and say, okay, that was another service. But Lord, we want to thank you. We want to worship you. We want to love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit comes now. And you say, Brother David, I didn't realize just how precious I was in his sight. I just want to love him for a few moments. I just want to worship him. I just want to take this time, Lord, on this pew where I'm sitting. I don't have to go up front. You can if you want. I don't have to kneel down. You can if you want. But Lord, I just want to take the time to thank you for letting me know how much you love me. And Lord, I want to love you back. Would you just worship him this morning?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, it saved. I
love him this morning? Don't you just want to express yourself to him? Oh, you don't have to wait till you get over there. You can go ahead and start now. Why he did it. I don't even understand the how that he did it. I don't understand how the God of all creation, that God of eternity that we demonstrated this morning, could become flesh. I don't understand the mechanics of that. But I know he did. I don't understand how that God can divide himself up. I understand that the Holy Spirit is universal, but I don't understand how that God can put himself in my soul. Brother Arnie, I can't figure it out. I can't explain it to somebody. All I can do is just preach it and tell them that he did it for me. And if he did it for me, I know he'll do it for any one of you. It just makes me fall more in love with him every day. Every day. Let's stand, if you would, please. You just excuse me. I'm going to worship for a little bit. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. For you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, yes, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. You've been my father, you've been my brother, mother, you've been my sister, my brother too, and you brought me, yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for you brought me, oh, from a mighty long way. Let's worship him. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for you brought me. I thank you, Jesus.
mother, you've been my sister, my brother too. And you brought me, oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, yes, you have. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. For you brought me, oh, you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way.
Hallelujah. Brought me a long way, Brother Buckles. He's not done with me yet. I can't help it. When he makes me feel this good, Brother Jimmy, and I think about whenever he comes and he takes me home to walk all through that eternity with him for time unendless, I just have to say, Brother Ernie, you ain't seen nothing yet. Glory. Come on up. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me.
Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father,
is Lord. Oh, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Let's sing it this way. He's my Lord.
Oh, He.
That's been laid here. I'll just read it to you and then we're going to unite in prayer. It says, please have the church pray for the family of Michael. I believe this is Bushy. Buckley. All right. Michael Buckley. He passed away Wednesday, September the 21st. He is Sister Diane Roberson's brother. Did I say that right? Diane Roberson. Okay. Visitation is today from 5 to 8 at the Church of God of Prophecy in Willisburg, Kentucky. The funeral is at noon, 12 o'clock noon tomorrow. I know that many of you all probably know our Sister Diane. I happen to know her. If it was your family, you'd want to know that there was a body of believers praying. Let's just pray that the Lord will be with the family. Perhaps someone's going to give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ because of this. I don't know the purpose. I don't know the reasons. Don't have to know. But I would just like for you to reach over, take the hand of a believer next to you. Let's go to Him. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, Lord. The request has come in, Lord. One of the members of Your body, Lord, she's lost a loved one, and the family, I'm sure, is grieving. Lord, dear Jesus, but You said that You would be a comfort to us. You would be a help, Lord, dear Jesus. You said when there didn't seem to be a way, Lord, that You would make a way for us. Lord, I just pray for Sister Diane and her family, Lord, her extended family, every aunt, every uncle, every cousin, Lord, every single one of them. Lord, may you get the glory from this. May you, Lord, be able to show your power in this family. Lord, just be with our sister and be with her loved ones, her family, as they go through this. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. Amen. I'm rejoicing that Sister Patty's here in the service with us this morning. Just thrills my heart. Thrills my heart. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have I done to deserve such glory as revealed in me? Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light. Came face to face with the life. Lord, I thank thee. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have I done to deserve such glory as revealed in me? Thanks for that special night when I saw dismissed.